RV Family Travel Atlas is sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Get an RV policy quote by calling 1-800-PROGRESSIVE or visiting progressive.com/RV. And by Campers Inn. To find your family's next RV, visit campersinn.com.
And by Go RVing. To find your away and find out if seasonal camping is the fit for your family, visit GoRVing.com/seasonalcamping. And by Instagon Multipurpose Stain Remover. To tackle your toughest RV cleaning and stain removing problems, visit Instagon.com.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to this week's episode of RV Family Travel Atlas. I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Jeremy.
And we write about RV and family travel with our three boys, Theo, Max, and Wes.
You can read about our adventures at RVFamilyTravelAtlas.com, and you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram.
On this week's episode of RV Family Travel Atlas, we are talking about seasonal camping with some experienced experts, John and Heather Anderson. We first met John and Heather at the Hershey RV Show in 2015 when they were purchasing their Class A Winnebago Brave. Since then, we have been impressed with how much time and research they put into all of their RV decisions.
So we invited them onto the show to teach us the ins and outs of seasonal camping. Why did they decide to do it? Are they happy with their choice? And perhaps most importantly, how much does this cost?
You might think RVing is all about exploring new destinations and finding the next best campground, but we know that seasonal camping might be the best path to affordable RV bliss. You are listening to episode 111, Seasonal Camping 101 with John and Heather Anderson.
Before we head into this week's feature topic, Seasonal Camping 101 with John and Heather Anderson, we have a sponsored message from our friends at Instagon.
Instagon is a non-corrosive stain remover for mold, mildew, and water stains. They also make Quick 10, which is for carpet, upholstery, leather, and vinyl.
Now, Instagon was reviewed in the February 2016 issue of Motorhome Magazine, one of my favorite magazines on the planet, and they recommended it for removing any water stains around vents, antennas, or air conditioning units. They also recommended it for your RV shades, curtains, or vinyl ceiling material. It's a great product for the end of the season RV cleaning that we're all heading towards right now, sadly.
Now, you can find a special BOGO offer right now over at Instagon.com where you get a buy one, get one half price. And then your order will also arrive with a special coupon for $10 off your next order. So you get a little bonus discount there.
And people are raving about the music over on the Instagon website. So head over there and take a listen.
All right. So, well, first things first in the news roundup, we want to wish our friends down in Missouri a very happy camping weekend. Thank you to Kerry Cox, who's hosting an RVFTA rally in Branson, Missouri. And we've got a lot of listeners in Missouri.
Missouri is solid for us. In this upcoming election season, we know we have Missouri locked up. I mean, there's a lot of other battleground states we're worried about, but we know we have the votes in Missouri.
Yeah.
Oh, wait a second. That makes no sense.
You're getting sucked into the nonsense. But so Carrie offered to host a rally down there so that all of these Missouri listeners could just meet each other, right, and become future camping buddies. And I'm sure they're going to have a blast. We sent down a huge box of fun RVFTA swag. And I think that the hashtag is RVFTA Midwest Rally. So if you want to on Instagram see what fun they're having, you can go and look at that hashtag. I'm going to be looking at
that. And they're all librarians, basically. So you know they're going to be having a lot of fun. I mean, they're going to be reading books. They're going to be talking about books. They might get crazy and burn a few.
Oh, no, they wouldn't do that.
No,
they're unbanning books. They're unbanning books. Okay. So now the next thing that I wanted to mention was we've been blogging for Progressive for a pretty long time now.
Since I was 10.
It's almost surprising to me that I was thinking, oh my gosh, we have blog posts from last fall that we did up on the website. So I was remembering that we had a post about fall fun at the campground that was on the Life Lanes blog, and that's at lifelanes.progressive.com. And the article was called Fall Fun at the Campground. And we really talked about all the different things that campgrounds do during this time of the year. It's not just about Halloween weekends. There's also Oktoberfest. There are harvest festivals. There's tailgating parties. So go over and check out that article if you're still up for a little more fall fun.
Can we link to that in the show notes?
Yep, absolutely.
Okay, now also, we want to remind everybody about our Tents for Troops fundraiser. We are going to keep doing this thing until we raise $10,000 to buy an RV for Tents for Troops and their RV loaner program. So what's going to happen is our community is going to come together, we're going to raise 10 grand, and we're going to buy an RV that will permanently stay at a really nice campground, and then active duty military and their families can stay in that RV for free for a weekend or a couple days during the week.
And it will only be available for active duty military families. That'll be its sole use at the campground, and we're really happy to support that cause. You can go to gofundme.com/RVFTA. Every little donation counts, from $5, like you would pay for a latte at Starbucks, all the way up as high as you can go, as your generosity allows you to
go.
And
we need you to donate. We need to meet this goal, and we really need every single one of you to pitch in. If we all do, we'll meet this goal very, very quickly. We've had so many donations so far, but we need more, and we need everyone to keep going here.
All right. The last point in our news roundup is we need to talk about registering. If you want to camp at the Florida RV Super Show in Tampa, we are going to be there. And it might seem a little early because it's not, you know, January seems like a long time off, but you have to register now if you want to camp on the grounds. It does sell out.
This
every
is like
year.
Coachella for RV fans. This is like Woodstock for RV fans. No, this is really, honestly, this is the most fun you're ever going to have at an RV show.
All right. So you can go online and register online at the Florida RV Trade Association website, but I'm going to link to it in the show notes. I'm going to link directly to the Super Rally registration form. Okay. So if you register, you camp on the Florida State Fairgrounds from Wednesday through Sunday.
And then you can walk right into the show.
Right. And all of this is dry camping, people. This is not, there are no dump stations on the ground, and they say you need to come with your fresh water tanks filled up and your holding tanks need to be emptied, okay? It costs $200 per rig for the entire time, okay? So that's Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night, right? Four nights, $200 plus. That gives you free entry into the RV show. So that's four nights of camping, 30 amp electric hookup. So I shouldn't have said it was dry camping.
Do all the sites have 30 amp, or do some of them have 30 amp?
Coffee and donuts every morning. Three nights of entertainment.
So depending on how much coffee you drink and how many donuts you eat, this could practically pay for
itself. This could be a steal, okay? So there's entertainment three different nights, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. On Thursday, it's a singer who has the feel of Neil Diamond, they say, Keith Allen, and he's a true American classic. On Friday, there's Spit and Image. You ready for this, Jeremy? There's identical twin brothers, Blaine and Brian Schwab. And they're a musical comedy duo.
Going to be in the front row for that one with our boys.
And then on Saturday, the Rivoli Review. Ron and Kay are back with music to make your soul smile and jokes for a night full of laughs. I'm reading that off of the website.
And this is what makes the Florida RV Super Show so much fun, is they pack in a lot of entertainment. When you're walking around the fairgrounds looking at RVs, there's bands walking by. There's a Teddy Roosevelt impersonator who you can chat with, for goodness sake. It's got a festival, carnival-type atmosphere on top of all the RVs that are there. So we really think it's the most fun you can have at an RV show in the world.
That's why we're going down all the way from New Jersey. We're going to have hopefully sunny Tampa, right? Fingers crossed we get some nice sunny
and
weather
Tampa's
in Tampa.
A great city too, to make it sort of a little mini vacation. Tampa's got great restaurants. It's got great coffee. It's a beautiful downtown. And we're going to be there wandering around, interviewing people, taking pictures of RVs, and meeting our podcast listeners. So it's going to be a hootenanny.
It's going to be fun, and we hope you join us. I'll link to the registration form for the Florida RV Super Show registration now, because they do sell out. Okay.
And pets are allowed on leash.
Yes.
Gotta clean up, people.
Yes, we won't have Sweet Maggie with us, but you can bring your sweet pup.
if you're traveling locally. We're flying in
for
this.
So we won't be able to fly her. That would be trauma unwarranted, right? All right. So we are gonna be back in a minute to talk to John and Heather Anderson, who we were lucky enough to meet at the Hershey RV show last year, and we've gotten to know over the course of the past year. They are so helpful, especially over on the forums. When people ask questions, like it could be a gear question or a reservation question, a travel question, and they are so research-oriented. They've even shared, like, spreadsheets for shopping with us.
I'm going to go out on a limb here and call Heather a forum all-star.
That's not a limb, because she really is.
You're right. It's not a limb.
It's not. She is so helpful to people asking questions, and I just knew that she would offer that same kind of research and, you know, detail-oriented, like,
well,
time.
They're both kind of smart.
They're very smart, and so we invited them on, and they are going to tell us all we need to know about seasonal camping. Remember, our 101 episodes, we bring people on that know what they're talking about, and they share all of that information with you.
And I love this series. If you want to go back and check out Camp Coffee 101, if you want to go back and check out Photography 101, we've got a whole bunch of them now.
Grilling 101.
I'm really
RV maintenance, a big one.
And it's about time we hit seasonal camping, because it's of high interest to a lot of RVers and a lot of our listeners. So we hope you enjoy the interview we have with John and Heather. Stay tuned. Welcome back to the show, everybody, and it's time for our featured segment, Seasonal Camping 101, yet another episode in our 101 series, and we're going to break this down into two parts. First, we're going to talk to Heather and John about their kind of their history as RVers and how they got into seasonal camping and why. Then we're going to come back, and they're going to give us their five tips for finding the perfect seasonal site. But before we do either of those segments, we have a special message from our great friends at Go RVing. Are you looking to maximize your time at the campground this year?
Then consider reserving a seasonal site at a beautiful campground close to home.
When you reserve a seasonal site, you will enjoy the ease and practicality of leaving your RV at the campground year-round.
We love the idea of arriving at the campground ready to fish, hike, kayak, or just relax around the pool with a good book.
Seasonal campers benefit from discounted prices on some of the best campsites, and some campgrounds will even rent your site if you want to take your RV on a longer trip during the season.
Whether you want to escape to the mountains or unwind next to a lake, there is a seasonal site out there for you.
Learn more at GoRVing.com/seasonalcamping and find your way. Go RVing.
And welcome to the show, John and Heather. It is so good to have you on.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good. This is not your first time on an RVFTA episode, right?
No. Does this make us friends of the show?
It does. You knew it. You knew the rules.
I was so hoping to become a friend of the show.
Yeah, there'll be a package arriving in the next few days.
Yes. Excellent. You always get a nice little package when you're a friend
of the show. It's going to be marked most secret.
And you know what? Awesome. You have both have been longtime friends of the show because, you know, there's a lot of behind the scenes work that you both do for other RVFTA listeners. If people head over to the forums, they will see such wonderful detailed responses from you guys about your camping experience. And that really, I mean, when we knew we wanted to come up with a seasonal camping episode, there was no one else we wanted to talk to. And we're just so glad you agreed.
We are happy to be here.
All right. So now, some of our listeners might remember that they heard from you first on our Voices from the Hershey Show all a year ago in September, September of 2015. At that point, you were just buying your Winnebago Brave, your second RV. But let's take the story further back than that. How did you get into RVing in the first place?
Well, Heather and I first, we decided to go camping. You know, we'd actually been married for quite a while. I would say, you know, 7-8 years. And then we decided, hey, let's go tent camping. And on our very first tent camping experience, Heather had a bear encounter. We were in Shenandoah National Park. We were in a tent. It was, you know, rangers told us when we walked in, hey, there is bear activity in the area. Make sure you keep everything. We were, you know, we were, I guess we called it a car camping at that time. And they told us, yeah, make sure you leave all the food, toothpaste, anything that smells like it's even remotely edible, except yourselves, in the car. And we said, okay, no problem.
Okay.
And then Heather, you know, in the middle of the night, Heather had to get up and use the facilities, right? And so, Heather, you want to take it from here?
So basically, I saw a baby cub on my way to the bathroom, and I backed up and got back to the tent, and John was like, oh, that was really quick. And I said, yeah, there's a bear. And he was like, oh, okay. Went back to sleep. 30 seconds later, woke back up and was like, wait, what?
Oh my gosh, a bear!
So basically, after the trip was over, and I said to John, I was like, yeah, I had a great time, but you know, I think I really just want a bathroom. Like,
and right around the corner we live in the Virginia area, and so there was an RV show very near us, very close to us, like a month later. And so we said, you know what? Let's go to an RV show. And so this was back in, I think, the fall, winter of 2012. It wasn't Hershey. It wasn't our first Hershey experience. It's a much smaller, more local RV show. But yeah, I think by the time we finished with that RV show, we decided, okay, let's start doing research. We want to do this RV thing. We want to, what do we want? And we went to the whole, you know, decision tree. Do we want to go tent camper? Do we want to go little guy? Do we want to go travel trailer? Do we want to go hybrid travel trailer? We were weighing all the options.
Now, guys, I have to interrupt for 1 second. Are you suggesting that the RV industry plants baby bears at campgrounds all over the country a month before RV shows? Is that what you're driving at? Is this the strategy that we don't know about?
No, but that would be ingenious.
Yeah, that would be great marketing. Yeah, absolutely.
Bear marketing.
So I guess that so break it down for me here. You really enjoyed everything about being there in the campground, your time together, being in Shenandoah National Park. You really enjoyed the entire experience, but just not the tent part.
We loved it. And I don't mind the tent part. It was just the bear part that I wasn't thrilled with. So, so we just decided it was time to go ahead and look at trailers and see what we could do. And we decided after a few months we looked at our pods, and then the Lances were the next thing that we looked at, and we decided to go the way of the Lance. And
now, I know that that was probably a long, you know, very researched decision, but sort of what were your top reasons for choosing the RV that you did first?
So I think the number one thing, and we just absolutely commiserated, we hemmed and hawed and we went back and forth, and we said, basically, do we buy a trailer that we could tow? At the time, Heather had a Highlander, a Toyota Highlander. It was a V6, and could only tow about 5,000 pounds. And everywhere we read online, and we were doing all kinds of research, and we were going to Toyota forums, and we were going to the well-known, like as we've discussed in the past on the forum, some of the less friendly,
the well-known cranky forum.
Yeah, I call them the towing mafia.
You want to tow that RV with what?
Yeah, pretty much. And we started to go, okay, so the old timers clearly think it's a bad idea for us to put a 5,000-pound travel trailer behind a car that, you know, is at its absolute limit. So we said, all right, let's start from scratch. What do we want? And then we'll go buy the tow vehicle. And that's the advice today that we give everybody. Find out what you want and then go figure out your tow vehicle. And that of course, is the most expensive way to do it. And believe me, I understand there's budgetary considerations and everybody's situation is different. But
well, you know what, John? I don't know if it's really the most expensive way to do it, because we didn't do that and we ended up paying more money later because we had the wrong tow vehicle and the wrong camper. So I think that you're offering good insight for some people who may be struggling with that same decision.
Yeah, and it's we just went back and forth, and we skipped that. We knew we wanted to skip the whole travel trailer, and that was a big decision. Or sorry, the tent camper. That was a big decision for us. We said, we're skipping the whole pop-up hybrid notion. We're going for hard walls. We want hard walls and a bathroom.
That baby bear was haunting you.
Basically.
It was.
Heather was seeing baby bears everywhere she looked.
Yes.
And as soon as we had made that decision, then it became, all right, well, Heather wants the kitchen that she, you know, the amenities that she'd like to cook inside. You know, she'd like to be able to wash dishes, and we'd like to have a walk around bed. And so we very quickly ended up with, all right, this is going to be about a 7,000-pound trailer. So let's just go get a half-ton truck. And we ended up with an F-150, and we bought that, and then we bought the trailer on the very same weekend. And so we were like, okay, the credit score is going to take a hit because it was a very expensive weekend. But yeah, we loved it. Three seasons in our Lance travel trailer. We absolutely loved it. And we primarily used it during those three seasons as a weekend getaway type of travel trailer. And we got a lot of experience hitching up. I joke to people, I say, we broke almost every single thing in that trailer and then learned how to fix it ourselves. So we got a lot of good experience. So don't feel bad when you hook up the battery wrong, guys, and you blow
and you blow everything.
You know,
you can get mighty hot.
Yeah, smoking. So for 3 years, you did mostly weekend camping, and then you did some larger trips too.
We did. We took it down to Fort Wilderness at Disney for a week. I guess that trip was 11 days, and that was fantastic, and I was not ready to go home yet, but we had to. But mostly weekends.
Now, okay, so somehow you came to the decision to start looking for a seasonal site. Just explain to people, because I think that this might be a very natural progression for some RVers. So what was that point that you hit where you even started talking about getting a seasonal site?
So it was probably, first, important for everybody to know, we in our neighborhood and in most neighborhoods near us, we're in an HOA, and the HOA has absolutely zero ability to and leeway to store jet skis, boats, travel trailers, RVs, motorhomes, anything in your driveway or in your yard.
Downright un-American.
It is.
I agree.
And there are. This is a huge debate, believe me, especially when you talk to people who live in HOAs. There. We knew getting into this. We said, well, we're gonna pay to store it at a storage lot. And so that's a monthly expense, you know, first of all, right off the jump, you're paying, you buy the trailer, and then you're thinking, okay, Thursday night, you know, do I want to take Friday off of work, to go down, and we'll leave Thursday night, or do we want to leave, you know, Friday night, and then we're stuck in traffic, even getting to the trailer, then we have to hook up, then we're driving out to the campground. And so it was probably, you know, the course, I'd say the first 2 years. We end up driving back into the, you know, one Sunday afternoon, we're pulling back into the storage lot, and we're still an hour from home because we have to unhook and chalk, and we're unloading the camper, and we're throwing the laundry and the cooler back into the truck, and we're looking at each other going, there's got to be, you know, maybe it's, there's got to be a better way. But it was more of, you know, if we could just leave it somewhere and just go out on the weekends and just show up and have the air, you know, the air conditioning we'd leave on, the power we'd leave on, the fridge would be running. This would be a lot easier.
Dreaming.
This would be a whole lot.
You can almost see the dream bubble above your head.
Yeah, I'd say to anybody that's paying for storage, right? I mean, if you're paying $1,000+ on storage, you got to start thinking about a seasonal as just sort of like this hyper storage option. I mean, it's just a couple grand more and all of a sudden you have a seasonal spot. So anyway, good thinking, guys.
All right. So did you start looking right away? How long was it before you had that first dream bubble appear and when you actually became seasonals?
I would say it was only a few months. We had been talking with some people at the campground that we're at, and they had let us know, hey, there's a seasonal option here. And we kind of joke that all the seasonals at our campground are vetted by other seasonals. And so that's the
you
way
you kind of get
in. Pretty much. So we were kind of in the crowd, and they really worked on us for over the winter. And so we made the phone call to see if we could even get a space and how much it would run and things like that. And so, you know, we looked at a couple of other places, but our hearts were pretty much set on this campground that we've been to probably 5 times before we had even started being seasonals.
So you and kind of started out ahead of the game because you actually had a place that you liked to return to that you could imagine yourself there as seasonals.
Yeah, and it's close enough that it was an easy place for us to get to on those weekend trips that we had to go down an hour to get to the trailer, then hook up, then leave, and then get back, you know, that extra hour adding on to that trip. So it was a good place for us to be able to do that. So we returned there probably 5 times over 2 years.
All right. So you decided to become seasonals there. How long have you been there for?
This is our second season there full time.
And what's the verdict, guys?
We love it.
Oh my goodness. I think we not only doubled, we probably tripled the nights that we spend in our RV, being seasonals. It's night and day. And I tell people this, and they look at me and they're like, really? And I'm like, I mean, there were months when we were not seasonals, where we'd only go out for one weekend because we were thinking, all right, it's a hassle. You got to make the reservations. To do it right, I want to take off Friday. So I got to take off a Friday to make it a 3-day weekend to make it even worth, the time of going down and hooking up. And now we're down there almost every weekend. The only time we're not out at our campground, our families, our extended families are basically telling us, oh, they're probably out at the campground because we're never around on the weekends.
And you guys are able to do some extended weekends too, right?
Oh, yeah.
With your work situations.
Yes. Both of us are very, very fortunate in that this wasn't always the case, but we now both work from home. And so we basically bring our own internet out to the campground. I know you guys have talked about campground Wi-Fi before. We don't rely on campground Wi-Fi when I have to get on a conference call on a Friday afternoon. So what I do is we have our own little hotspots and we bring them out. The campground we're at has really good 4G signal, so we don't have any problems basically working from our RV, which is now a motorhome. Now we upgraded. We can talk about that, but Fridays, it's a running joke now with some of my coworkers that during the summer, spring and fall, they're like, hey, it's Friday, John, where are you right now? And I'm like, I am out at the camper, and life is glorious
now. You started out with the travel trailer. You were very happy with your travel trailer. And then you decided to upgrade to the motorhome, the Winnebago Brave, which is when we all first met you last year at the Hershey Show and you were shopping with that. Do you think the seasonal contributed to your decision to go in the direction of a motorhome?
Oh, most definitely. With the travel trailer, when we bought it, it was just the two of us coming camping. Two seasons ago, we added the dog, David. And last season, we added Wendy coming with us, our cat. And the 18.5-foot Lance got a little small, especially on cold or rainy weekends when we would still go out. And so I would definitely say, when you're there every weekend or even during the week sometimes, it's a lot different. You really truly use it as a second home and not just a weekend getaway.
Right. That's what it's sounding like. As you're talking, it sounds like you guys have a second home and you jet off to that second home on the weekends.
Let me put it to you this way, Stephanie. My knife set and my cookware is the same as it is at home.
Right.
So it is truly a second home for us. So we just go out on the weekends, and it's great now that we've got this space. John has his own dedicated workspace, and I can kind of be moving around without interfering with him working, and whereas we could not do that in the Lance. Miss it, though.
Is there any tension about, taking trips to new places? I mean, is it ever let's just go to the seasonal spot? I mean, is there a debate sort of going on, do we go away for a week somewhere, or do we just go to the seasonal? Is it keeping you away from exploring new places, or are you still able to do that?
I would say it's somewhat. There's a little bit hesitation because you are paying for that space so much. It's hard to justify, hey, I'm going to go pay for another campground when I'm already paying for one. But at the same time, I think we've gotten out more this season. Correct me if I'm wrong, John, but I think we've gotten out more this season than we have in or than we did last season.
Yeah, this is our second year in the seasonal spot, and absolutely, we've done more trips and some longer trips this year. We actually a cousin of mine was getting married in Iowa, and we just said, hey, let's just go ahead and take the motorhome. And so we drove out to Iowa, and that was a good 5-6 day trip. Loved it. We probably would have flown if we'd been sitting there going, do we really want to go down and hook up the trailer? That's just going to be a totally different experience. And since we pretty much these days have our motorhome on the seasonal spot, it's ready to go. It's got everything. We have sheets in there. We have linens. We have dishes. We basically show up at the campground with two backpacks, our dog and our cat, and maybe a cooler.
Do you actually pack clothes, or do you leave clothes there?
We pack them.
Yeah, there's some clothes that we leave. Like, we'll leave a jacket and, like, you know, hiking shoes in the trailer. But generally, in swimsuits, just so we don't forget them, things like that. But we generally do bring clothes, because, you know, our season in our campground starts in March and goes all the way until the middle of November. So we go through the seasons, and we just don't have that much closet space in the motorhome to actually have, like, sweaters. And then in the summer, we're switching to shorts and t-shirts. And so, yeah, we bring three packs. It's much easier to throw three sets of clothes into a bag, throw it on your shoulder, grab the dog, and we're off to the motorhome.
Right. But your toiletry, all of that other stuff, your cookware, even food, right? You can leave, like, your condiments, in the refrigerator over the week, right?
Oh, yep. Yeah.
And Heather, you like to cook a lot. Am I right on that?
Yes.
So you feel that you've been able to set up the kitchen at your seasonal so that you can use it like you would a kitchen in your second home also?
Oh, most definitely. I even use my oven, which I know a lot of people don't. But yeah, I mean, I made scones one morning for breakfast from scratch. So, yeah, I cook in my RV.
Hey, and yeah, for all of our listeners, Heather is the one. I shared her tip on the forum about using the ceramic tile in your RV oven, right, to distribute heat more evenly.
Yes, which is funny because I shared that tip and I don't have one. So we need to. It's actually on our list of things we need
right?
to buy.
Right? All of those things that you know you should do that you never end up doing. But it's a good idea.
Now, would you guys like it if the campground allowed you to rent out your space when you are gone? Is that something that you've ever asked about? It sounds like they don't allow you to do it there, but we do know that some campgrounds will actually try and rent out your spot if you're not using it.
They actually don't, because they charge us for electric. And so in order to keep the meter reading honest and fair, they don't rent it out.
Okay. Great.
But we have been to some campgrounds. We've been down at one in Kilton Head that does do that. It's more of a timeshare where people own the site and then the owner of the site rents it out like almost like a beach rental property. You know, we've never really felt the desire, like, yeah, okay, if we're there 26 weekends, you know, and we're, you know, we're only gone four on trips. Okay, you know, I'm not looking to recoup that cost. It doesn't keep me up at night.
Right, you're getting a good value. We actually know somebody who calculated a seasonal cost, like, by per day, per, like, weekend, per month, per second. Like, you know, like, how much money you'd be spending per second out of the year on this site, you know?
Well, I mean, fundamentally, like, you guys are using it as a second home, as a vacation home. It's just, like, infinitely less expensive than actually buying a vacation home. I mean, it's not even close.
It is. And so we actually, when we decided to buy the motorhome, or actually when we bought the trailer, we were looking at timeshares. We're big Disney fans, and we were looking at, you know, do we want to buy the Disney DVC timeshare? And we decided, okay, we're either going to do that or we're going to buy an RV. And we decided, okay, you know what? We can take the RV more places. We'll be able, and that's when we decided to buy the trailer. Now we've upgraded to the motorhome, and I don't think we've ever regretted that decision. I think we enjoy our motorhome much, much more than we would ever a timeshare, and it is way cheaper than a timeshare, and infinitesimally cheaper than buying a lakefront house or a beachfront house or something like that.
You both are not the first people to be on this show that chose RVing over Disney. I just have to put that out there. Yeah. That seems to be a common sort of theme. People who ended up going to Disney a lot saying, I want to do something different, and ended up in the RV space. Well, so now you're in your seasonal site. You guys are happy as can be, and we consider you seasonal experts. You went through this whole process of transferring from, you know, being weekend campers to being seasonals about what are you, about 2 hours away from your home?
About an hour and a half.
An hour and a half. Okay. So we consider you the experts, and you came up with sort of five tips. We have so many listeners who are really considering whether this would be a good decision for them or not. They don't even know where to start thinking about it. And you guys were kind enough to come up with five tips for finding the perfect seasonal spot, and you are going to tell us about them when we come back. Stay tuned.
Choosing the right RV dealership is as important as choosing the right RV.
Campers in RV was founded on the belief that every customer deserves to be treated with dignity and respect. That's why they offer the Integrity Pricing Guarantee. All of their advertised prices include freight, prep, orientation, and detailing, so customers will never be surprised by last-minute upcharges and fees.
Campers Inn RV believes strongly in transparency, and they strive to make customers feel confident that they found the perfect RV for their budget and their dreams.
Since 1966, Campers Inn RV has become the nation's largest family-owned dealership with 15 locations across the East Coast. Come down and learn why Campers Inn RV has been the RVer's trusted resource for 50 years.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. It's time for more Seasonal Camping 101 with Heather and John. They just kind of set us up with their backstory and told us how they got into it. And in this segment, they're going to give us five great tips for seasonal camping. But first, we need to thank our friends at Progressive Insurance.
You can get the perfect amount of coverage wherever you roam around the United States with packages available for, you guessed it, seasonal use and full-time RVers. Call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE or visit progressive.com/RV for more info today.
Now, Heather and John, we heard a rumor that you guys have just the perfect amount of coverage.
We do.
We do. Flo took care of us. Love Flo.
Happy
Progressive people.
That's such good news. And it is not all insurances do cover seasonal rentals or full-time RVs. That is the truth, people.
You're becoming an insurance maven.
I know a lot more about insurance now than I did last year. I'm just going to admit it. Okay. But now by the end of this episode, we're going to know a lot more about seasonal camping than we did before, okay? Because Heather and John actually crafted these five tips for us. We asked them to do it, and they came through. And from seeing their notes in the past, I knew they were.
A+. Notebook check, you guys, A+.
Oh, they're such teacher pets. They are such.
I'm an AP English teacher. Yeah. A+ on that note, on those notes.
Yeah. Okay. So we're going to walk through these five tips that you guys developed based on your own experience. All right. Are you ready to go?
Yep.
Let's go.
All right. So number one, you said to find a place that you love going back to again and again.
Yeah, I think this particular campground that we ended up at, and we considered, I'd say we probably had three that were in the running for a seasonal. I mean, first, the campground has to, you know, even have seasonal spots, which a lot of campgrounds don't. So of the three we found that offered seasonal spots, there was one in particular. We're in Virginia, and it's out in you know, the Shenandoah National Park area, and we loved going back to it. The views were amazing. The campground amenities were, you know, it was clean. All the sites were nice. There was good spacing between the sites. We never really had any complaints at all, and they had this amazing dog park that our dog absolutely loved. So that was a plus. And so yeah, after as Heather was saying earlier, after we'd been back twice and we'd actually met some of the, you know, just walking around the campground, we'd introduced ourselves to some of the campers there. We'd heard, oh yeah, they have seasonal sites here, and we started asking all these questions, and they were telling us how much they loved it and how this was their third year back. This was their fifth year back as seasonal campers. We knew we were onto something there.
Out of that list, you mentioned the larger sites, the dog park. Was there something that sort of clinched it? I mean, was there one thing that mattered more than anything else, or was it just an overall feeling of really liking the campground?
I think for us, the proximity to home, but then also just how we felt at the campground. Like, it felt like a place that we could go to and not really ever get tired of going.
Decompress on the weekends.
Yes.
That was, yeah, we never felt stressed out at this campground. It was not a, it was not one where there's, you know, just people going crazy and the sites are right next to each other and you know exactly what the next door neighbors are having for dinner. And it was, you know, it wasn't a stressful experience. We, and to be honest, I think what clinched it for me a little was the view. We'd sit in our site and we'd be able to look over the Shenandoah Mountains and actually, you know, sit there at night, you know, as the sun's going down and watch the sunset. And we're like, okay, this is relaxing. This is good for me.
Yeah. And I think that having that experience more than once might be really key because you can really enjoy a place. And Jeremy and I have said this about quite a few campgrounds. Oh, this is a great place to spend a weekend, but anymore, you know, and my head would explode, you know, more busy campgrounds or something like that. It's great for 2 days or 3 days, and then we got to go, you know? So you really need to know, would I enjoy this over extended periods of time?
You guys are really making me think that the site size would matter a lot to me because you don't know who your neighbors are every weekend. And if I was showing up every weekend and somebody was 5 feet away from my campfire, that could be a stressor, you know, and I think that you guys are saying these other, the nice size sites here, that's something to really consider if anyone out there is looking for a seasonal.
Yes.
And I think we'll get to that a little bit in our next tip.
Okay. Well, and before we're going to go on to the next tip, but before I also want to point out something, this may seem like an obvious tip, you know, to find a place that you love to go back, but maybe some people might approach it in an opposite way and start thinking, well, I want a seasonal and then looking around for where seasonals are. What you're saying is that it really should be a more sort of like a developed relationship, right? You're not online dating here. Like you don't want to be flipping through the classifieds. You want to think, what is the place that I love going back to again and again? So I think that can be a little bit of a head shift.
It's a marriage, this whole seasonal camping thing. It's not online. Great analogy, Steph. Yeah.
Thank you, honey. I know. I try. Okay. So now I'm going to let you move on to the second tip. So number two, you guys said, do your research and ask the right questions. What do you mean?
For us, some of those questions, and I'm just going to go through a list real quick and then we can kind of go back. But some of those are, how closed is your site? Are they seasonals? Are they rotating neighbors? Do you have shade? Do you not have shade? Do you have a breeze? Do you not have a breeze? What's your view? Things like that. And that's just for the campground itself. But then also, do you like the town that you're going to be in? Because you're going to be spending a lot of time there. You know, what stores are there? How are the people? Things like that.
Do they have a good pizza place? Do they have a good sub place? Can you get your Starbucks fix if that's important?
Are there any good pizza places in Virginia, guys?
We've got wine here, lots of wine.
Yeah. So did you guys have a really like a deep think session between the two of you where you listed out all of those things? I know that recently Jeremy and I actually just posted a blog for Go or Being, which was about sort of helping people to ask the right questions to find their perfect campsite. And it almost sounds like you're saying the same thing. You need to ask yourself questions that help you figure out what your perfect seasonal site is. Did you guys like have a session where you opened that bottle of wine and really like actually made a list and talked through these things?
I would say we had several.
Yeah, it was more than one.
And because one of the places that we were considering was 2.5 hours away from home. And so we were like, are we really going to go down there? As much as we love that area, 2.5 hours on a Friday afternoon is a long time.
Yeah, that sounds like a very
Then Sunday you're coming home. So, you know, it's like five hours in the car as opposed to three. You know?
It's almost like you want to eliminate anything that you think might be the thing that keeps you from going on a Friday afternoon, right?
Yes.
Like anything that would be that deal breaker.
Simplicity. Thoreau was, in a sense, a seasonal camper.
Oh, yeah. This happens on this show. Sorry, people. All right. So number three, you want to check out the surrounding area.
Yeah. As Heather was saying, you're going to spend some serious time down here, right? That's the whole reason you're doing it. You're getting the seasonal site. So if you're the type that you can actually stay at your camper and, you know, watch DirecTV all weekend with your little, you know, your portable dish, sure, then you don't, this doesn't apply to you. But most people I know are going to go to a seasonal site and they're going to want to go do stuff on the weekends. They're, you know, they're eventually going to want to say, okay, do we want to go hiking? Do we want to go biking, kayaking, canoeing? That's just the
wineries, cideries.
Yeah. Do we want to go?
Cideries a word?
Yes.
Oh my gosh. I love that. I just learned a new word. It's a cidery.
After you have a couple glasses of cider, it's a word.
Cidery. And you are really outdoorsy people, but you also are foodies too, right? You like a lot of that kind of stuff. So you tried to find a place that would sort of hit all those points for you.
Yes.
We do very much enjoy our vineyards, and anytime there's a farm-to-table restaurant, we're all over it. So,
Oh boy, you're sounding. I don't know.
So have you sort of like found your favorites, where it's like, okay, we're going out for the weekend, and we're going to go have dinner here. You know, is it sort of like that home away from home in that sense?
Most definitely. In fact, it's not a full weekend unless we've had a sandwich from John's favorite little sandwich deli shop.
And so, it's up on the wall, and it's so good. I love it.
Wait, can you tell me what the sandwich is, John?
I have two that I really love. They make a mean Cuban, and I'm a big Cuban
fan. I love Cubans.
Fist
bump.
The other one for me is they make a chicken club. So it's like a club sandwich, but it's got grilled chicken on one of the layers, and it hits the spot for me every time.
I'm digging both of those sandwich choices. Okay, we can carry on now that I got a little food talking.
I'll totally take the Cuban and trust you on the other one.
Yeah, you love a club sandwich, Jeremy. All right, Heather, what?
Well, and they're one of the only places in town that does a gluten-free bread, so which for me, I have to be gluten-free. So it's a good kind of compromise for the two of us. And I always go like chicken salad BLT, keeping it classic.
So you're coming up with your regular places, even in your getaway spot, which, you know, I think that thinking about whether that's possible, you know, people talk about this kind of stuff a lot when they're looking for houses, right? They say like, oh, don't think, oh, it's okay. We'll be okay. We'll put up with it, right? Because when you live there, it'll drive you crazy. So the same way with the seasonal. If you're one of those people that loves to go out and maybe go antiquing or maybe go to the winery, if you're looking at a seasonal, don't say, oh, it's okay that there's nothing like that in the area. That's okay. I'm fine standing at the campground. Like, look for a spot that really hits those sweet spots for you, right?
Most definitely.
And one thing that I cannot stress enough, I know we've been having the debate recently, but yeah, you're going to use your bathroom. You're going to need to find, a place so you can restock on toilet chemical. So, you know, how close is the nearest Walmart? How close is the nearest Camping World? Can I get Amazon Prime delivery? You know, however you get your toilet chemical, that's an important consideration.
That's a great, I think, we need to like put a star next to that point, because we have actually gotten things delivered to, we're shameless.
There's often a box waiting for me at a campground upon arrival.
When we take these 3-week trips, we have no problem with ordering from Amazon and putting the address of the next campground on it, and it's there for us when we arrive. We call them. We say, expect a package, right? But it's probably important to talk to your campground about that and say, hey, is this okay? Like, will you receive packages for me?
Yeah, absolutely. And there's some things, especially, you know, that are so specific, you know, to the RV, you know, needs that, you know, even Walmart might not have, you know, what you're looking for in certain cases. You know, if something breaks and you need an extra fuse, I found fuses in my RV that I can't even find in an AutoZone. So yeah, those type of things can sometimes become critical, you know, if the hot water heater goes and you need it fixed in a pinch.
Okay. Also thinking that we've talked about mobile RV repair on this show, then you might also want to reach out to the campground and say, you know, do you have a mobile RV repair guy that comes here or gal that comes here and, you know, will fix things on the RV?
Absolutely. And we do. And we love our
That's sweet.
Yeah, people do sort of like fall in love with their mobile RV guy. You know, gets very intimate.
We have not actually had to use him, but our camping neighbors have had to use him, and we've gotten to know him through that, and he's fantastic.
Now, do you winterize and leave it there at the campground, or do you need to put it away for the winter?
We winterize and leave it at our particular campground.
Oh, that's great. See, I think that's very important, you know, because if you have to then do storage on top of the seasonal, it just gets a little bit more complicated.
Yeah, and then you lose some of that cost. Okay, so number four, do a trial run of weekends. What do you mean? In addition to the times that you've already spent there, you say, like, let's make this a thing. Let's try this out.
Yeah, you know, see if you can. We had a friend who actually left theirs for like 2 weeks, and they were like, we love this experience. We don't know if we'd want to do it every week. But for us, it was come back a couple of times and see, you know, hey, would this be okay to do every weekend? And we said yes.
and in particular, well, so one of the things we found being seasonal, holiday weekends, the big ones, Memorial Day, July 4th, Labor Day, such a different experience in a campground compared to a non-holiday weekend. So we recommend that you try to do at least one holiday weekend and one non-holiday weekend in the campground that you're thinking about making a seasonal, because sometimes it can be night and day compared, you know, and so, and you want to have both experiences just to make sure you know what you're getting yourself into.
I'm thinking if you had the time even to like try the campground in the spring, try the campground in the summer, try the campground in the fall, just to make sure like, okay, this place is appealing to me even in the early spring months, you know, even in the late fall months, which it sounds like your spot is.
It's especially important if there's a high season in that area. Like for us, we're getting ready to go into high season because of the leaves changing. They haven't started yet, but once they start changing, the campground gets a little bit busier. We'll have a few weeks of lull and then it will get pick up again.
Right. And I'm also thinking that for some people, it might be interesting to think, could this replace the type of camping I do during all the seasons? Like, for example, our boys really love Halloween at the campground. And usually in the fall, we search for a campground that has like the trick-or-treating and everything that weekend. Well, in my mind, a seasonal would have to have that, right? So that I wouldn't, you know, I could do that at my seasonal spot and not have to go find another campground to do it. Or in the spring, something that you really love about spring camping, you know, it would have to replace those favorite activities in every season.
Absolutely.
I agree.
And yeah, and Heather and I don't have kids, but if you do, absolutely, those activities, you definitely want to know whether they've got, you know, are they bringing in, you know, bouncy houses on the holidays, or do they do that every weekend, or is it just the holidays? Are they bringing in live music? Are they bringing in sometimes food trucks, things like that, that you and your family are going to be able to do, you know, without even leaving?
It's or that might annoy you. I mean, even if you have kids, even if you have kids, you might not want that every weekend. You might really want something a bit more laid back.
And we've found being seasonals that we do tend to want that more laid back experience. Like there's a time and a place for a really busy campground. But our every weekend getaway is not necessarily it, because we're trying to decompress from the week and from the busier area that we live in.
I want to come camp next to you guys. You sound so relaxed. You're like making me zen just listening to the experience. All right, let's go. Number five. Of course, we saved the best for last, right? It's not really the best. It's probably the most important for many of us. Calculate your costs. There's always a budget, right?
Yes, definitely. And for us, you know, we were already paying for storage. So we were already, I think we were paying $100 a month for storage at our place. So, you know, $1,200 into the year. So we start looking at seasonal costs with that in mind. Okay, we're going to take that $1,200 and we're going to maybe put it towards someplace that we can camp at for a long time, you know, for a good part of the season, and then store in the winter. And we found, you know, quite a range of seasonal places and costs associated with, you know, those seasonal sites.
You know, if you don't mind sharing, what was the low range of what you looked at, and what was the high range of what you looked at?
So we saw everything from, say, around $2,000 for an entire camping season. And you have to take into account some, you know, campsites are only open for maybe 6 months of the year. So $2,000 maybe for 6 months, $2,000 maybe for 12 months if they're open year-round. So you have to keep that in mind. But we saw everything from $2,000 at the low end all the way up until almost $10,000 a year for a campsite.
What a range. What a wide range.
Very wide. And some do It's an annual one. You pay up front for the whole year. Done. And then some sites, they want you to pay, you cut them a check monthly. So it's very different. It's very wide, you know, it ranges widely from site to site, from campground to campground, I should say. And then some of them actually have site premiums. So there'll be some sites that, you know, are a fixed rate. And then, oh, but these over here, they're by the pool. So you might pay a little more for those seasonal sites, that type of thing. You just have to do your homework, unfortunately.
And let's talk, though, about what you're going to – you know, we have to probably generalize to do this. But let's talk about what you're going to find at those price points, because Stephanie and I digged in and looked a little bit at prices too, and we saw basically $2,500 to, say, $6,500 in our general area. So just in increments of like $1,000, you know, how different is that $2,000 campground from the $4,000 or like $6,000 campground?
Yeah, in other words, did you find that price points kind of made sense with what you saw in the amenities, you know, the site offerings, all of that?
Oh, most definitely. I would say your lower range are places that they don't have a lot of amenities. They may not be as nice of a campground. You know, they may be great for the weekends, but not so great for the long term. And then there's ones that were, you know, $700, $800 a month. And most of those were the ones that, you know, were monthly. They were activities every weekend and a lot of other amenities and things like that. So there was a wide range of, you know, what you pay for what you get, basically.
And sometimes it's even the site construction. I mean, everything can be different from, okay, you're on grass versus you're on gravel versus you're on, you know, like, laid stone.
Right, or a cement pad, you
exactly.
know.
Exactly, yeah. It can
Roman marble.
It's very visible. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you've got the marble fire pit, right?
Mm-hmm.
It very much seems to be you pay for what you get. And I think it, just in our discussions with the you know, we've come to know the management of our seasonal campground. They're very aware of their competition and, you know, the pricing in the seasonal market, and so they know if they've picked their price point, why they picked that price point and how they think they justify that price point. So, you know, if you shop around in a certain area, you can definitely start to see, okay, I'm paying for this one. I'm paying for, you know, pools and bathhouses, and they have this huge rec center, or they have a ton of, you know, weekend activities every week, or they do free continental breakfasts on the weekend. You just have to do your homework, and hopefully, you'll find, okay, this is why they're priced like that.
Was there any sense that it was negotiable, or was it really just like, this is the price, this is the price, this is the price?
At ours, it was, this is the price.
Okay. Yeah.
Gotcha. Yeah, that's what I would assume.
And what happens, and this is something, just as another tip, you're going to get to know all the other seasonal sites, campers. Let me put it that way. And so very quickly, it's like everybody's living on the same street in your neighborhood, right? And so, of course, everybody's like, ooh, look at the Joneses. They just got that brand new Class A diesel push. Ooh, isn't that? But at the same time, everybody comes over and says, what was your electric bill? What was, you know, how much were you guys paying? Did you leave your air conditioners on? I left all my air conditioners on the whole summer, and I don't understand why my and so, yeah. So everybody starts, you know, telling everybody else, oh, you know, were you able to negotiate a deal? And for our site, for our campground, it's pretty much everybody's paying the same thing.
Could start a riot if somebody cuts a deal, right? And all of a sudden you could be the unpopular kids on the block.
Yes. Or they're like, ooh, why did they get that site?
Everybody marching right down to that office, man.
It's happened.
To the office. We have actually witnessed that, yes.
Now, I have one question more about the cost. I think the cost savings are pretty obvious in terms of gas. You know, there's so many things. Now, have you seen extra costs that you didn't expect?
Yes, only in that, of course, when you're at the seasonal site, you suddenly desire more stuff.
Shopping.
And since you're not at your HOA, you can buy it.
Yeah.
Yeah, John may have seen a clam shelter, which is one of the screened-in shelters, and he was like, we must have that. And of course, now with the Class A, we have the storage for it. And so it showed up one day.
Tell the truth. There's like jet skis on your site. Like there's no water okay. anywhere, but there's
no,
like jet
skis. No, I think that's a great point, is that you know, we're talking about this as a second home. Then you start to treat it as such and you start to outfit it as such, right? And you really are buying maybe accessories and little like design items and sundries that you wouldn't have bought if you were just using it as an RV.
Oh, I would say... within 2 months of us this season. Was it this season that you decided to throw out all the IKEA, you know, cutlery and we got the real, you know, the what do we have in terms of the knife set? Is it, it's not Cuisinart.
Henkels.
No, it's the Henkels.
Okay. Yeah, there you go. Yeah. I nailed it. I knew what you had in there.
Yeah. Yeah, that stuff happened this year. But to be fair, the other stuff was dangerous because it wasn't sharp enough and I was trying to cut my fingers off.
We grant you that, Heather. I am, look, you know what happened over the course of last year. We had spent so much time in RV that I did the same thing. I said, this is like Looney Tunes. This is my home for 70 nights out of the year. I want to have that, you know, good.
You want to be comfortable.
I do. I want to have what I need to have to be comfortable for those days. So I feel you on that. No judgment. No judgment here.
The whole RVFT podcast network is a non-judgmental yeah. zone.
No judge.
Yes. Stephanie and I judge each other.
No judgy.
But we won't judge you.
Now, go ahead, our Heather. Seasonal, we can't have anything permanent. So, like, we can't add on a deck or, you know, put up a playground for the kids. And we've seen campgrounds that are, you're able to do that type of thing. So for us, really, like everything can go back into the basement of the RV when we're not there. So we didn't get anything that we can't put away.
I like that rule.
I do too.
As a transient camper, I like that rule because then when I'm pulling in for the weekend, I don't feel like the outsider as much. Like, look at all these people who are here
who have the tiki bar,
who have these awesome decks, and like, you know, my kids are rolling around in the dirt on the lawn, you know?
Yes.
And sometimes you may not, you know, depend for us when we went into those campsites, we were like, ooh, I don't know if I want to be here with the guy who has an entire woodworking shop out in his RV, right?
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, maybe this isn't for me. Yeah, so let's add that to the list of questions, right? You mentioned like developing that checklist of asking the right questions. Say, do I want to be able to put out that like deck with the tiki bar and woodworking shop, or do I just want to have it like a regular campsite and put out my camp chairs and sit around the fire and my clamshell shelter, right?
That's right.
Yeah. Well, okay. Those are Heather and John's 5 tips for finding the perfect seasonal spot. And I am so thrilled that you guys came on the show and told your story and just walked us through your experience.
And I think for our podcast listeners, just because we know, we are getting to know our audience really well. After 2 years, I just think that for a lot of our listeners out there, this could be a really attractive option for you that maybe you have not given enough mental space to think about. So I'm really hoping this episode, I'm hoping we get some emails like, hey, I decided to pull the trigger and get a seasonal site. And I really think we will.
Or are you a seasonal, right? Are you a seasonal camper? And we have heard from some, but maybe there's more out there that have never, you know, emailed us or gotten in touch. And why did you make that decision? And what, you know, were your choices that were maybe the same or different than had than John's, but I couldn't have thought of any two people that were better on this segment, and I was right, weren't they awesome? Thanks,
Heather
and John.
Oh, you guys were great. You come back anytime.
Thank you for having
absolutely.
Us.
And being a friend of the show, you know that means. Look, it's open door, right? Open door policy. We'd love to have you back.
When the package
anytime.
Of gifts comes, you could open one of the gifts a day.
Yeah,
you know, don't open them all at once.
Yeah, make it last.
Okay.
All right. All right, guys.
Thank
thanks
you so
much.
We'll see you at the seasonal campsite.
See you guys soon.
Bye.
See you soon.
Thank you so much for listening to episode 111, Seasonal Camping 101 with John and Heather Anderson. I really am excited that we got to do this episode. This week, we put something up on social media about how we were having a strategy session about future episodes. And I said, any thoughts out there? And a couple people said, hey, do something on seasonal camping. And I was so excited because we had the interview done already. And then somebody said, well, can you do a pros and cons of seasonal camping? And we didn't really go for that approach with this episode, but it made me think a little bit.
because, you know, obviously John and Heather are all about seasonal camping. They love it. They're mostly sharing the positives about it. But I did want to think at least a little bit about the cons of seasonal camping. And for me, there's just one big one. You might travel and explore and see fewer new places because you're spending money on that seasonal site. You're probably going to be much less inclined to head out somewhere else for a week or a weekend.
Right. You might just have that idea like, oh, let's just go back to the seasonal spot. Let's not bother with the hookup. And I also thought not having your RV in your driveway, right? Like if having to manage like having it at the site and then thinking if you're going on a longer trip and you want to pack up, having to bring it home to do that. Like there is a little bit of management there. But you know what? It depends on what season of RVing you're in. Some people are in the season of RVing where they just want to go, 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 go. And some people are in the season of RVing where they want to like chill out and relax.
And it's just also your life. I mean, if you're busy and working hard and you don't have a lot of opportunities to go away for a long weekend, or you don't have that many weeks of vacation, but yet you could escape to a seasonal site every weekend that's maybe an hour away, it might be an incredible option for you. So I see very few cons of seasonal camping. I just think it's about knowing yourself and knowing how you're going to get the most pleasure and enjoyment out of your RV.
All right, so thank you so much to all of our sponsors for this week's episode. Thanks to Campers Inn,
to Go RVing, and to Instagon Multi-Purpose Stain Remover, and of course to our friends at Progressive Insurance.
Gazing at the stars and hanging out at the campfire are best enjoyed with the bliss of saving money by adding an RV policy to another Progressive policy like a car, motorcycle, or boat. Save money and set out on a new journey by calling 1-800-PROGRESSIVE or visiting progressive.com/RV.
And maybe that new journey for some of our listeners will be a seasonal camping site. And if this episode inspires you to do so, hey, let us know.
Drop us
an email. We'd love to hear that. We'll read them on the show.
And we will see you at the campground.
And maybe at your seasonal site.
That's creepy.
That is not creepy at all. Stop it.